Please try now to understand that the eye of your being is the same eye that is going through the experience here in Bible of walking among what are called Pharisees. That when I speaks here to the Pharisees, it is the eye of your being. There's no time lapse. There's just I speaking. I have said many strange things to the mind of man. And the mind of man, called here the Pharisee, is unable to comprehend my meaning, because it has no capacity in the Pharisee mind to receive the word of Spirit. And so its actions must be strange. It must react. There was a division, therefore, again, among the Jews for these sayings. Many of them said, "He hath a devil, and is made, and is mad. Why hear ye him?" Now then, I is speaking to the Pharisee mind, and the mind says, I, which is one with the Father, is mad and has a devil. That is the revelation that the human mind has no capacity to hear the voice of God. For I am the voice of God. I, in the midst of you, am the life of God, the voice of God, the power of God. And I speak to the mind of you, which says, "I do not believe what I hear." That must be the devil. And this is what has been taking place in the human consciousness all these years. The human mind turning away has said, "That must be the devil." It has been saying that to all the inner stirrings of the soul. While pretending to itself how righteous it is, how noble, how benevolent, how charitable, it is turning away from I. Others said, "These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind?" And so the human mind is capable of two observations. It can see the evil or the good on the material plane. Could a devil open the eyes of the blind? That sees the good. And the other side of the same mind sees the evil. The revelation then is that the human mind itself is a state of division into good and evil. Good matter, bad matter. Good conditions, bad conditions. But it can never see one. It always sees the opposites, the two. And so the Master, the eye of you is revealing that your human mind is divided. It sees the good and the evil of the material world, but not further than that. It does not see the spiritual universe of the eye. And so it is always struggling to change the bad to the good, because it believes the good is real and the bad is not. But I reveal unto you that there is no evil matter and no good matter. There is only I. invisible spirit where you see good and evil matter. So the opening of the consciousness to this spiritual perfection where the human mind sees good and bad is part of the purpose at this moment. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple, in Solomon's porch. Now when Jesus walks in the temple, this is the same temple that he spoke of when he said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again." They're all walking in a physical temple. He's walking in an invisible temple, because he has some there who are following him. He has disciples there, those who can discern. He is revealing the temple not made with hands. That temple which is the body of the soul. He is teaching those who can follow, who can accept these first fruits of his work, that I in the midst of thee am mighty. I in the midst of thee am life, not death. I am the body without beginning or end. I am the body of you. When you know me, you will live in this body. And he walks in this body of the soul, in Solomon's porch. You remember, in a little fishing town of Bethesda, there was a healing of a cripple. And by that sheep market, there were five porches. They weren't Solomon's porches. They were the five porches of the senses, in which all of the ills of the world are. But this is a different porch. This is Solomon's porch, as contrasted with the five senses or five porches of the human consciousness. Solomon's porch, then, is the great light of reality. He walked in his soul body in reality. And there were those there who could know this. For this walking in his soul body, in reality, Solomon's porch, is also a statement about the spiritual capacity of those who were following him. There were men on earth of that day, and women, who could understand, who could follow him into the invisible self. How? They did precisely what we're learning to do, to live as I, the Spirit of God, which is one with the Father. And let I open up the inner vision. Let I illuminate. Let I reveal the body of the soul. Let I reveal the incorporeal nature of being. And so let's pretend for a moment that we can walk with him in I, in the temple, in Solomon's porch. And we can see why the Pharisees who cannot are so bewildered. For they're walking in dying bodies of clay, which we are learning to renounce as not created by the Father. Then came the Jews round, said unto him, "How long dost thou make us doubt? If thou be the Christ, say it plainly." No man can say, I am the Christ. No outer person can say, I am the Christ. The only place you will ever hear, I am the Christ, is within yourself. Only within you will the Christ proclaim itself. The mind looks out for the Christ, not in. And of course, misses the God experience while thinking it's worshiping God. Because the Father only speaks to Christ within. Jesus answered them, and this is when we must learn to listen inside ourselves. Not like a Pharisee talking to Jesus out there. Because it's the Pharisee mind of us which is asking these questions, and we must learn to hear the answer not out there but inside ourselves, as the inner eye of you says that which Christ responds to the Pharisee. In you must come the words, I told you, and ye believe not. The works I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Have you seen any I miracles performed in your life? They came from I in the midst of you, not from a person, not from a practitioner. All any other individual did was die to self. Let the eye of his own being touch the eye of you, and the eye of you released you. And the eye of you is telling you that right now in these words. I told you, and ye believed not the works that I do in my Father's name. You see that? That's the eye of you, which is always the liberator from your so-called Pharisaic or mortal mind. You have never been healed by a person of anything. Only I in the midst of you, touched in some way, does the releasing from the illusion of something that had to be healed. And if you had been in the I, you would have not needed that so-called healing. Are we getting somewhere now? Always, I in the midst of you am your practitioner. I in the midst of you am one with the Father. Is there any more? You see how beautiful this is. Suppose a whole herd of cattle had a disease. I in the midst of every one of that herd, I am God. I in the midst of you, I am God. Rest in I, and I will reveal the non-reality of disease. Suppose you come into complications with the younger ones, these sweet 18-year-olds, falling in love and out of love every third week. And oh, horror of horrors, she's going out now with a married man. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to throw her out? Are you going to argue? Are you going to make demands? Try it and see how far it gets you. You'll have to get a padlock. It won't work. But go to I. Isn't I the eye of the married man? Isn't I the eye of the 18-year-old? Isn't I the eye of you? Do we have the right to make human judgments when I alone knows the will of the Father? When I am the only presence and the only power and the only life? You see, we have our Aladdin's lamp. We have the key. It doesn't matter what forms the problems take. Maybe tomorrow they're going to elope, and you don't think they're ready. How many parents have taken the human steps and found that it only leads to disaster? Out of this frying pan into that one. But suppose you found I. Am I not love? Can love bring disaster? Am I not peace? Am I not harmony? Am I not the infinite mind? Can you not trust me? Am I not the mind of all? When you touch I and you, you touch the infinite mind. And the infinite mind is the mind of every individual in I. And though they know it not, what difference does it make? Is not God the center of every one, whether they know it or not? You have the key, but you must rest there. And so again and again and again the words strike back and say, I have told you so before, but you did not hear me. You were in that three-dimensional consciousness that could hear the words without seeing their relationship to your being, because you didn't know that I, who speak these words, am the self of everyone who walks the earth. I'm not a man speaking to Pharisees in the Bible 2,000 years ago. I'm the I of the universe. The soul of everyone who walks. The truth of all being. Present everywhere. Whether they know me or not, I am there and there is no other. And when you have this precious truth within yourself realized, consciously practicing it, you have the keys to the kingdom of reality, of harmony, of grace, of beauty, of life, expressing the perfection of the divine. And then you don't make decisions. Because that's an image in thought. You let I, in the midst of you, her, him, be the deciding mind as you rest in trust that I know thy needs. I am the expression of the divine will. I am the truth. And I am the life. Rest in me, and I will reveal the Father's work on earth. Not just for broken bones, but for all so-called human activity that concerneth thee. And this I has been saying this to us before Abraham. Longer than the Bible has been written, I have been speaking to you. And now we're turning to that I, listening, believing. We're finally coming to the place where Christ, walking through Jerusalem, is the I of my own being, finally opening me up to an understanding of what Christ on earth was doing, infiltrating consciousness everywhere to show the power of the Father on earth was available, present, ready. We didn't have to wait and do not have to wait for a death experience to lift us up to a mythical heaven. I am come. But ye believe not. because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. All those who listen within to their own being, which is I, are the sheep. And they hear the voice, and they are able to follow I. They're not living in the external world of the senses. They have found the secret of life is the inner experience of I. And I give unto them eternal life. This is God speaking on earth. I give unto them eternal life. The Father is I in the midst of you, saying, I give everyone who listens, who lives as an in I within eternal life. There's no room for doubt. There's no room for mistaking it. That's the statement. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. When you have found I in you, you cannot be plucked out of the infinite. You cannot perish. There's no you left to perish because you know yourself to be I. And that means no power on earth can pluck you out. No power on earth can change this relationship. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. Your identity says that the infinite Father is the only power. Greater than all. There's no second to vie against the infinite self when you are standing in the eye of your being. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. This is the statement of the omnipotence of I in you, which ultimately enables you to hear, I am the only power on the earth. Over all things, flood, fire, mountain, avalanche, famine, poverty, over and under population, you name it, I am the only power. No man can pluck you out of my hand. For the infinite Father sustains I. In all things, my grace is thy sufficiency. This is how dehypnosis comes about. Not by us sitting down to figure out what to do, but by letting I take over. Then we're dehypnotized from the five porches of the mind, the senses. We sit in Solomon's porch. And soon we become conscious of the inner temple or soul body as a reality. We see how the mortal body is a mental counterfeit of this soul body as a reality. As an experience, as a practical way of life, no longer conjecture or a promise, but a fact realized and lived in. That is why he could say earlier, I lay down my life that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received from the Father. That soul body, you can walk out into it and walk back into the appearance of a physical body. To the mind of man, incomprehensible. But I say unto you, these words are said by I. That's our authority. That's the way we move in spiritual progression. Not limited by what the human mind can understand, but by the authority of I, the Father within. Then we are no longer stagnating. Trying to improve a mortal self, but accepting the commandment, be transformed. And the way is provided by I. For I, my Father, are one. Your assignment for the week, if you will accept it as one, is to take I and my Father are one, and learn how to accept it as the permanent fact of your existence. Meditate with it, commune with it. Whatever you read, weigh it from the standpoint of I and my Father are one. But above all, practice it. Live it out. Don't let it be five or six words in your mind. Live it out. I hear and my Father are one. But this isn't said to me alone. This is said to Johnny and Harry and Billy and Mary and Genevieve. I and my Father are one. I is in the midst of each one. Accept it for the world, not just your human self. And live in that acceptance. For that's where the power is. I in the midst of Genevieve, I in the midst of Harry, I in the midst of Richard, I in the midst of everyone is the divine self that I am. Don't blot me out of this one, because you'll blot me out of yourself. Try to find an acceptance within you that only I is where that person appears. Where everything and everyone appears, substitute I is there, and I and the Father are one. And you begin to know your spiritual universe as a living, vibrating, present reality. The forms will not fool I, but they will fool the mind. If you don't do this, you will be doing the next line in the Bible. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. That's the equivalent of saying, I don't believe a word of it. This isn't for me. We stone the truth. We really stone I. You either practice I or you stone I. You notice many, many times through the Bible they're always throwing stones at Christ. Why? The same reason you and I have done it every day. When we make a human decision, we stone the Christ. When we accept Christ, Christ makes the decisions. I, in the midst of us, makes the decisions. But I is you. You're not turning to a second self. You're leaving the false sense of self. I is you. And it's come to that place and time where the only way we can honor the Father is to be I. For only the Son can honor the Father. It's come to that place where we can no longer even pretend to ourselves. We either honor the Father by accepting I as my name and identity, and listening to I, and following I, and believing in the power of I to be the infinite self on earth, with total trust, confidence, and finally discover this is our great opportunity to watch the infinite express itself as the I that I am. We begin to feel the joy of this great promise. It ceases to be a task or an obligation or a responsibility. It's the way of life. It's life expressing. And I can accept this infinite life expression or stone it. By forgetting it, turning away from it, denying it, rejecting it, or even accepting it only partially. And so limit myself to the divided, three-dimensional mind. So I repeat, this week, I and the Father are one, is our assignment. Once you make it your real assignment, you'll discover it's your permanent assignment every day of your life. It's the way you have to learn to live. Jesus answered them, "Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me?" Now, isn't this a fascinating thing? Can you think of one evil work that Jesus Christ did on earth? One evil work? Not one. They were all good works. Why? Because they were all ordained and expressed out of love and out of wisdom by the I, which is one with the Father, which is the expression of God. All perfect works. And therefore, why should the mind turn away? For which of my good works do you stone me? And so he's saying that when you look out of a human mind, you cannot recognize good works. You think they're evil because a human mind is predisposed to see evil. Evil will see evil. He's saying to them and to us, examine your motives again, please. These are perfect works. How can you stone them? The fact that you do is not a reflection on the works, but upon your inadequate level of consciousness, which cannot perceive that these are perfect works of God. Translated into our modern idiom, How can we possibly turn away from I within when we know the meaning of I that can only do perfect works? What form of insanity would prevent us not from living in I, would prevent us from living in the conscious awareness that when I live in I, I'm in conscious union with the Infinite Father? We'd have to be totally unwilling, totally misunderstanding, totally ignorant of truth in order to continue in a way that would say to I, depart from hence. This mortal mind of mine is going to continue living my life. Well, thank heaven those days are over. We have lived in those dark days of the mind. But the light of I is upon us. Within each one, we've even outlived the question asked by I, because now we're learning not to stone my own identity. I've really stoned the solution to all the problems I thought I had. You see how twisted and deformed the human mind has been? It has been casting stones at its own solutions for problems that it couldn't solve. Of course we've been hypnotized. Who else would do that but a hypnotized one? The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. And because thou, being a man, makest thyself God." That's what they saw there, a man. They saw a man because they were looking out of the eyes of a man. A man sees a man. They saw a man like themselves because they had not found I in the midst of them. But Christ wouldn't let them stop at that level. Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, I said ye are gods?" You find that in the Psalms. "I said ye are gods." Well, that's in your law. If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scriptures cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent unto the world, "Thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God." You see, here these Pharisees, the human mind, has been talking quite a lot about God. But when it's faced with God, it can't believe it. It simply can't believe such a thing can happen. God is up there. Everybody knows that. There's no God on earth. How could this man be God? How ridiculous and how egotistical. This is blasphemy. But who's saying this is blasphemy? That mind, which is not the Christ mind. That mind which loves to talk about God. That mind which inflates itself with its own importance. But then when I, God, appear, that mind is totally blind. I, God, appeared on earth. And the greatest religion of the day looked at I, God, and said, "We don't see you at all. You're not there. You're just a man." But it wasn't a man. It was I. And it's the same I that is knocking at the door of every person, even this moment. I'm not a man. I'm I. I'm the infinite spirit of God in you. And what I am doing now is what I was doing there in that day. Don't stone me. Give me to drink. Accept me. Open your consciousness. Crucify the Pharisaic mind, not the Christ. And you will bear fruit richly. Your name is I. Your identity is I. Your substance is I. And be still and know that I am God. Let the stillness be a permanent way. An inner silence, facing outer appearances with the knowledge that I in the midst of me is God. Nothing can change this eternal relationship. Neither life nor death can separate me from the I, the love of God. And so I can face all outer experiences, all outer conditions, with the knowledge that I in the midst of me is not bound by the outer conditions. I in me is not under karma. I in me is not controlled by weather, sin, disease, limitation. Rest in I. And all of the mountains outside will dissolve. Nothing can stand that isn't real in the presence of I realize. Because I realized is infinity right here and now functioning as the perfect self of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. There's the test. Don't believe the man. Believe the works. Because the works attest to the presence of I. What man makes the waves go down? What man heals the cripple? What man brings manna from heaven? Only I. If you don't believe in me, believe in the works, because the works show you that I am the Son of God. And that I, which is the Son of God, which does the works, is your identity. Give your identity an opportunity to demonstrate the works, and the man will get out of the way. And then as the works are done, you will know. I am your identity, for no man can do these works, only I can. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand. He went away beyond the Jordan into that place where John at first baptized and where he abode. Many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of the man were true. Many believed on him there. Either you accept I here in you now, or I returns to the Jordan, meaning you lose the awareness of I for a while, begins all over again, running a cycle of training through to the point where it comes to the pinnacle of acceptance or rejection, and then begins all over again. It's really previewing the cycle of reincarnation. When you reject I, you're setting the stage for your own return to a mortal body, starting back at the beginning. Now, there are many lessons here. Without these lessons, that I in the midst of the Almighty and I am the only, beside I there is no other, we never have a real understanding of what is to follow. And what is to follow is going to reinforce our understanding of what has preceded. Now, the eye of your being is going to stand at Lazarus's tomb. And the eye of your being is going to be in Lazarus's tomb. And the eye of your being is going to demonstrate the meaning of believe on the works, for no man can do these things. And I who do these things am your being. You can look ahead now to the next chapter, Resting in Oneness. You can look ahead to the 11th chapter of John, which is the resurrection of Lazarus. But when you look ahead to these things, ask the eye of you what this has to do with you. How does the resurrection of Lazarus have anything to do with you? Or is it possible that Lazarus is a symbol of your mortal self being raised from the tomb? Think on these things, dwelling with I and the Father are one, and remember when we stand before the tomb that I and the Father are one is the principle that will be revealed as the liberation of he who dwells in a body of clay. The chapter we have been studying for 4 or 5 weeks is entitled No End. If you are I and there is no end, there's not a second you. There's only I, the Spirit. The mortal, material self is Lazarus in the tomb. But there is no mortal, material self, and so I step out of the tomb, because there's one standing before the tomb who knows that I and the Father are one. The message for us is what is important. You'll find the answer in the chapter, No End, which you have been reading, and in the chapter, Resting in Oneness, which is our 5th chapter, I think, and the next chapter. But all these chapters are about your being, yourself. They're not chapters in a book. They're the word of I expressing, leading, teaching, inspiring confidence that you actually can walk in a world living in identity, knowing that every need is provided for by the infinite invisible through the eye of your being. It hasn't provided for you before because you weren't living in the eye of your being. And when you did, you found the sustenance of grace appearing on the doorstep, unannounced. Oneness. Infinite I. Is the I of Jesus and the I of Joel one? It must be. Is the I of Jesus and the I of you one? It must be. Is the I of Joel and the I of you one? It must be, whether you know it or not. The difference then is in knowing it. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. In the knowing, which means the conscious awareness of it, the miracle of I becomes the daily activity of your consciousness. Your consciousness imbued with the knowledge of I, which is truth, becomes a law of permanent freedom. In our meditation now, consciously know the eye of Joel is the eye of me. The eye of Jesus is the eye of me. The eye of every individual, whether he has attained or has not attained, is the eye of me. And this eye, which is the eye of everyone and the eye of me, is one eye, one self. And that eye, that self, is God expressing. And that is who I am, God expressing. God expressing through the eye of Jesus, through the eye of Joel, through the eye of you, through the eye of everyone. And whoever consciously attunes themselves to this eye finds God expressing perfectly, without partiality, as infinite grace appearing at. The method won't be improved. It's flawless. We who are willing to work in that method are the laborers in the vineyard. And we reap that grace only when we are in it. Word consciously has been stressed again and again by Joel, so remember, consciously, you know. Thanks again.